Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 57 for November 27th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube, but I'm also posting the audio-only version of the of every episode of the shows on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. So be sure to search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put together the list of the stocks we're going to be discussing today, which you should be seeing on your screen right now. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed this show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades. But he is off this week as moderator, and I have Matt Buckley here to moderate, so I'm going to turn it over to him.
Awesome. Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Very interesting Analyze Your Trade session today, because it really does feel like we're kind of hanging out on a precipice here. Either, you know, market's kind of in a holding pattern, epic Black Friday, Cyber Monday, historic numbers, and the market's just kind of shrugged. We got a Fed chief talking tomorrow. You know, Trump and Xi at the end of the week, just and a lot going on. So it's I'm glad David did a nice job getting a good group of guys together. We got Jerry Newsom of RealLifeTrading.com, Larry Gain, and he's a first time guest. So Jeremy, welcome aboard. We will we'll only haze you slightly. Larry Gaines of Paracycle Trading, and my buddy Andrew Keene. Andrew and I we were out in Vegas a couple weeks ago at a trader expo, and got to hang out with Andrew. So good to see you again, my friend. Let's keep that order for the rest of the day, Jeremy, Larry, and Andrew. But let's kick off with you, Jeremy. Give us a little bit. Give us that executive summary of your background, what you did, and kind of what you do at RealLifeTrading.com now.
Yeah, man. Thank you for that. Executive summary update. My name is Jeremy Newsom. I'm 30 years old, and I love long walks on the beach. Went to the University of Florida to learn finance, and in the finance field, I thought that they would teach me how the stock market works, what trading is, how to become a better trader. And obviously, we all know that didn't happen. So I went through the gambit of online courses, webinars, and books from the age of 18 to about 22, learned everything I could about the markets, realized that you really need to learn that much about the markets, learn too much about the markets, tried to dumb it down for myself, lost a bunch of money, and then actually kind of figured it out after I lost a ton. Understood it, spent 4 or 5 years getting a lot of the money back. And then 4 years ago, launched a company called Real Life Trading, where I try to do my best to teach people from all around the world what the stock market is and how to properly and safely trade it. So I focus on risk mitigation. It's always kind of my number one forte, but that's a really quick, good background.
Awesome, man. No, I appreciate it. And that's music in my ears when you talk about risk mitigation, especially with where we are in the market right now. Definitely going to be interesting.
For sure.
Yeah. Larry, Paracycle Trading, man, what's your executive summary? And good to be working with you again.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks, David, for having me here again today. Yeah, I've been actively trading the markets for over 30 years. I started my trading career back in the oils, on the oil side of things, back in the 80s, and ran a large oil international oil trading desk for over 10 years. So background in pretty heavy in oil side commodities, but then branched out into all the equities. You know, everything pretty much trades the same. It's just basically you look at it. If it's a number and it moves, you can trade if there's enough liquidity. So I like to use directional type trading systems that I developed and then incorporate options for the leverage and risk management. So that's kind of what we do at ParacycleTrading.com. So again, thanks for having me here.
Awesome. Yep. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say, especially some of the energy stocks or symbols, or just your overall take on the oil market, because it seems like that's either everything's going up right now or everything's going down, and oil is certainly serving as a little bit of an albatross. So looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And Andrew, my man, with obviously everybody should know Andrew. If you don't, he's at alphashark.com. Give us your executive summary there, bro.
Yeah. I started my trading career on the trading floor of the Chicago Board Options Exchange, where I was a market maker for about 10 years. And then what happened was everything went electronic and it killed the business for a market maker. Penny wide options and weekly options was the best thing ever for a retail trader and the worst thing for a market maker. So I left the trading floor, and then I encompassed my media and social media into a business. Started about 8 years ago. We run a live trading room, educational courses, and indicators on Thinkorswim, TradeStation, and Ninja.
Awesome. Folks, real quick, my name is Matthew Buckley. You can call me Wiz going forward. I flew the Hornet, F-18 Hornet, for about 15 years for the United States Navy. Graduated from the Navy Fighter Weapons School, which many of you know is Top Gun. So obviously I didn't have a big marketing department when I got started. Flew 44 combat missions over Iraq. Taught myself how to trade long before Al Gore invented the internet. Heard about these things called options and never looked back. Did so well with my personal trading, I popped up on the radar of one of the largest vol arb firms in the country, Peak Six Investments, headquartered right across from where Andrew was trading, right in the CBOT, Chicago Board of Trade was where Peak Six was, and then was their managing director strategy, and then decided they wanted to own a media company or build a media company. So we built the Options News Network, ONN.TV, which was really cool. Had a blast doing that and hosting a bunch of those shows. So, and then decided Chicago winters were best left for people other than me, and decided to move down here to South Florida, sitting down here in Fort Lauderdale, where we are headquartered, Fort Lauderdale and Boca Raton. So no offense to anybody from Chicago, but you can keep it. So anyway, let's go right to what David's got up here. And like I said, we'll keep that that same order. So sure. Jeremy, let's go with Microsoft, man. The old, not Big Blue, but kind of the old stalwart of tech. What do you feel about Microsoft?
That's right, man. What's really fantastic about Microsoft, I'm sure you guys all know this, but it's either about to or has, depending on the day, surpassing Apple for the biggest company in the world market cap wise. That's a big deal. A lot of people are going to be keeping a close eye on that with that huge shift, you know, Apple down, Microsoft up. I think personally, a lot of people are starting to flock to Microsoft for that particular reason, just because people love to go after the front runners. But on a technical basis, if we want, I think we were practiced screen sharing earlier, so I'll hop over here to my screen and get my chart sharing of Microsoft. Are you able to see that okay, Matt?
You bet.
Okay, thank you so much for letting me know. So Microsoft, what's really interesting and what I love is this little post right here when it got this this nice candle right below this previous low. So this low was on October 30th at about $100, nice even number. And then this low came in at $99.35. So you're talking about some nice either algos or just hot, you know, big buyers sitting around that $100 level, looking for it to get popped up. And what's interesting at this particular point is this gap right here that occurred over the Black Friday, Cyber Monday, big gap up, really, really pretty, certainly trapping anyone who is short between these 3 days right here. So my thought is most likely we do run up a little bit higher into the 100 simple moving average, which is about 108.63. And then most likely we're going to come back and fill this gap. I don't know exactly when, but we probably will make another shot at it. And most likely I'm keeping an eye out for another lower low. A lot of people probably had their stops right below the low of this candle, just trying to hold that level. And they probably got stopped out by those mean market makers like Andrew. And so once that stop got flashed, I'm most likely and kind of excited about that rollover, the gap fill, and probably throwing in another low. So if I was looking at buying Microsoft, my overall entry would probably be right around that $100 mark, that $99.30, something like that, a limit buy off of that spot, looking for it to rotate. Mostly because the weekly chart also is right off of that 50 EMA on a weekly. So right now, it's a good trend, but we are getting a substantial amount of volume on the weekly chart. So that kind of tells me that I don't think we're done with the chop on Microsoft. So if you're looking to buy it as cheap as you can, is my thoughts.
I like it. Larry, what's your take on Microsoft?
Yeah, Microsoft is actually, you know, it's holding up quite well here. You know, it's had its big sell-off and flushed down to that 100 level. What I'll be looking for, you know, we're starting to see some momentum shift back up, but I want to see it get back above this kind of this 50% retracement level. Let's call it 108 right in here. So if you can see my charts just from a daily here, I want to see it get back above this 108, kind of show me some consolidation. And then I think it has good potential to get back up to that prior high of 112. But you know, this is an area of concern. If it can't get back up into the 50% and over, then we could see it potentially roll over. And there's so much negative news out there that anything could push the catalyst the other way. But, you know, it's stabilizing right here. Just the technicals are looking like it's trying to regain its footing and potentially move higher. But I want to have it prove a little bit more to me, you know, getting back above this kind of 108 level. And then let's see some consolidation. Then I think it has some potential upside. But if not, then, you know, could potentially roll back over.
Well, and it's interesting, like Jeremy, you said, it is kind of a sleeper story that it's right on Apple's heels of becoming that that coveted market cap company there. It's and it seems like it's avoided the FANG implosion. So Andrew, what's your take on Microsoft, man? Is you see a sector rotation out of those FANGs into quote a safe tech stock like Microsoft, or what's your take?
Yeah, I'm gonna bring up my screen because everybody's doing it. So technically I think Microsoft's okay here. I do think we're gonna close and move higher between now and the end of the year. And I actually see the futures up 16 now. So I think the short-term low is in at 2600 just between now and the end of the year. So being an option guy, what I do is here, and I go into December, and let's say I'm bullish in Microsoft, I can look at the money straddle. So I look at Microsoft's around 107. So the 107 straddle is a cool little trick. 320 on the calls, roughly, 290 on the puts. That's implying a $6 move between now and December expiration. So if I was bullish, I just came to the bottom here. I put a little call spread together. So they're implying Microsoft can go up to 113 or 100, which would be right here. And being bullish, I think it's going to go higher. So I could buy the 112, 113 bull call spread for 25 cents. And on that trade, I'd be risking 25 to make 75. It would pay $1 if it goes above 113. I think that's a great way to play Microsoft with getting 3-to-1 reward to risk setup.
I like it. Definitely. You got to be bullish there, though, folks. So my take is kind of what I was alluding to a couple seconds ago with Andrew is it really seems like the tech stocks have been hammered. If you look at the past month and a half in an Amazon, a Facebook, a Netflix, a Goog, I mean, Facebook just, getting obliterated. Mark Zuckerberg, no show today in front of the House of Parliament, Commons, whatever it is. So they put just a picture of the dude there. Even Twitter is imploding. It was reported today that the Commerce Committee is actually looking into Jack Dorsey at Twitter because he lied under oath. So I think if there is a sector rotation out of growth tech, the FANGs, I think Microsoft is a safe play there. The way I'd play this long term bullish, because I got to be honest with you, I'm short term bearish, neutral to bearish. Powell speaking at noon tomorrow. Everybody's waiting with bated breath. I mean, what the hell's the name of the speech he's giving tomorrow? It's something about the It's a funny labeled speech tomorrow because it's going to be perfect. He's speaking in New York. Powell speaks. Here's the title of his speech tomorrow: The Federal Reserve's Framework for Monitoring Financial Stability. Well, if you take a look at this past month and a half, the guy's kind of been relatively quiet. So I'm probably going to sit on my hands for a little bit. But if you like Microsoft here, maybe you can hop in your time machine and fly all the way out to Jan 21 and do what we call a long call diagonal, or maybe even just pick up some synthetic stock. Front month, I'm a little neutral. I'm kind of a little neutral to bearish on a lot of stuff until we figure out what happens December 1st between Trump and Xi down in Buenos Aires and the Fed chief. Tomorrow, but out of all the techs, I think this is a safe tech if you want to have some tech in your portfolio. So, okay, sweet. Let's. I'm gonna punt on the next one, man. Jeremy, are you a weed guy?
Hey, you said no personal questions.
Yes, exactly.
I could talk CGC for a quick moment. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
My thought is this one, man, was just pure hype, and I think everyone knows it. Everyone who's been in the market more than a year probably has noted that the whole buy the rumor, sell the news was in full effect on Canopy Growth. And I got so many questions from friends, ex-college buddies, just people who I know may or may not partake, but they were just letting me know, hey man, this is probably a great time to buy, right? And I'm thinking to myself, probably not, because it's already made a dramatic move. I mean, anything in this situation, we're talking all of the cannabis stocks across the board for 2018, you're up hundreds of percents. So when it came out, it was October 17th or 16th. It was one of these 2 days. I believe it was the 16th. But on the legalization day, you have this gap up. So these nice, I'll really zoom in quite clear here. You have these really just three beautiful, huge, bullish candles. Every single person's already buying. This is the breakout. And then what happens is this is when everyone bought. And this is when all the smart money sold at open the very next day. Just a beautiful fade. Couldn't get one single share short. To make money in this downside, but could have obviously played it with options, didn't because I'm a giant fried chicken, but it had this just really nice sell-off, and I think it's going to continue. That's my overall opinion. The weekly chart, you know, we have a nice little trend, but I think there's a lot of more punishment to be had first, kind of like the whole Bitcoin thing. A lot of people are geniuses at the top, so I'm thinking that we're going to try to slide back down into the low 20s, most likely, just to make sure everyone's good and punished and upset and throwing in the towel with Canopy growth, and then that probably is where it starts to bounce a little
bit. Was there any pop on Jeff Sessions getting booted? I mean, wasn't he Mr. Anti-Weed?
He was, and there was a little bit of a pop, yes. And if I go back, I forget the exact day that occurred, but you mostly had just kind of like that consolidation throughout here when it did happen. So it was mm-hmm. digested pretty quickly, but throughout anything, I mean, really the news was, the big news, the really one that shook it was when Constellation Brands put in, what was it, $14 billion into some weed companies. That was really what struck it, along with a decent earnings gap back on the 15th of August. Mm-hmm. A beautiful gap and go, just trapping so many people right in here. And so once that gap happened, you got the really nice hammer candle followed by the inside day and the breakout. That's really when the flush was happening. So early August was the time to be long. And if you weren't long before then, I think you have a long way to wait before it pulls back and consolidates a little bit more. My take.
Okay. Larry, how about you with the, do you follow this at all?
Yeah, I do follow it. Can you see? Okay, so, you know, here it's looking to me like a short. You pretty much come down to that 200-day moving average. You had a great bounce back up. Now we're back below the 200. You can see this kind of, call this kind of a cliffhanger. You can see this low right here at 30, call it 50. If we start getting a close and a separation below that, you've got a good potential for downside to fill that gap back down there at, call it 25. So, again, you know, create as much pain as possible. You probably got a lot of trap length up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anything, I'll be looking to short this and using options. You can see here also, then if we look here at the weekly time frame, here's a 50 simple moving average weekly. So key moving average. But if we can get a separation, you know, on kind of a closing basis, not intraday, but closing, and a little bit of a separation or that $30, this has good potential to easily get down to, you know, 25 or so. So with options, that'd be a pretty safe little nice little spread to trade to down to around 24.50, maybe lower.
Very nice. Andrew, how about you, man? Do you follow CGC?
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite of the field on this one. And I'm also going to say that I'm bullish on Bitcoin. So I guess I'm going to probably be the opposite of everybody here. So I looked at the chart here and I've actually been trading them a little bit. CGC, New Bev, Tilray, I haven't played in that much, but what I like here is something called an option wheel. So there are weekly options and the volatility is so high. And we actually see a lot of the volatility coming out of the intraday basis on these. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, in CGC, if I brought it up here, let's just look at, like, we can put in next week 30 puts. So next week 30 puts, you can get about 80 cents for. So let's say I sold those next week 30 puts. If the stock stays above 30, then I keep that 80 cents. So that stock gives me about $1.70 to the downside, about 6% here to the downside. If it goes under 29.20, then I'll be long the stock. I'll be put the stock. And then what I can do is I would come in here and then I'd sell next week calls against it. So then I'd sell the December 14th, always lowering my cost average using the option market. So I think I actually set a pretty good opportunity to do an option wheel, just figuring out where I think support is to the downside, selling cash secured puts. So you're going to need some money in the account for that. But I think 30 could be the short-term bottom. So selling, maybe I'll do that tomorrow too, selling some 30 puts. And if it goes, you know, that much lower, then I can sell calls against it, creating an option wheel.
Nice. I like that. I like the terminology too, the option wheel. Cash secured put, kind of as Andrew implies there, or states, you need that cash in your account. So obviously not wanting to sell anything naked there. Like I said, I'm gonna punt on that. I don't follow the weed stocks at all. If anything, I trade, you know, I know Andrew's a Bitcoin guy. I like the blockchain technology. I like trading the underlying until something's established. As an options guy, once they have options on something, I feel like it's grown up enough where I'm going to pay attention to it. So for me, for the weed stocks, I, you know, look at potash, Monsanto, or something like, you know, look at fertilizer or something like that. And then same thing, once some of the cryptocurrencies kind of, some of them flame out, or the phoenixes rise from the ashes, that's when I'll jump into them. But okay, good. All right, man, let's go top of the order with Adobe.
All right. So Adobe, this one's going to be interesting. Realistically, let me try to pop over here, get my screen sharing back again. What I'm actually looking at a mix between Intuit and Adobe, because my biggest question is, who is going to be buying Dropbox first? It should never have IPO'd. And I'm trying to figure out if it's going to be Intuit or if it's going to be Adobe. Either Dropbox or DocuSign. One of those two will and deserves to be bought out by one of these two companies. And what's really interesting is the weekly patterns on these look weekly with a W-E-A-K-L-A-Y. You have lower highs, you have lower lows, you have volume increasing. There are certainly some warning signals. So I know this is Intuit. So if I hop back over to Adobe, Adobe's the same thing. Even though you got yourself a nice long lower shadow and a good closure below the 50, it's kind of my interpretation that if this doesn't start bouncing very, very soon, it probably won't. And on the daily charts, you actually have a really kind of acute relief rally that's coming in with a very, very nice break of the 200. So here's the long-term moving averages. So we're below the 100, we're below the 200. You had this really interesting gap down when the whole market was just kind of pooping its pants. Everyone was really worried Tuesday. Market kind of getting that nice rally. People are buying. This is when everyone, you know, who was new in the market was probably shorting. So they have to get kind of wrecked over first. So I think that we'll probably trade back up into the 240, 245 region on Adobe. And since we're talking options, I think probably a good way to consider playing Adobe would actually be some form of a bear call spread. The only challenge is we do have earnings in December. So if I was going to go really conservative, I'd probably look for some money up here around 300 to the 310 range for January bear call spread, which is over earnings. And as long as Adobe doesn't gap above the 280 price range on earnings, you probably are going to be okay with that particular position. I think both that sector, the Adobe and the Intuit, look a little bit weaker on the weekly chart. And if one of them does spend the money to buy the well-deserved to be bought Dropbox or DocuSign in the near future, that'll be the expense of cash. And obviously at that point in time, those stocks will most likely go down a little bit more. So I'm looking more towards bearish to neutral side on Adobe.
Okay, cool. Larry.
Yeah, so looking at Adobe, starting off with the kind of longer term weekly chart, you can see it had that huge crush down to 210 and then spikes back up over a weekly time frame. But you know, it's right at that 50% retracement, and you've got a lot of weekly overhead resistance. So this right now is kind of a retracement rally. And this is not one I'd be looking to buy other than to look at a play up into 240, but I would not be doing anything in here. I'd be seeing if it can come back up here into this range around 240, which is the 200-day moving average. And that's also a retracement level for Fibonacci. And if it fails here, then I'd be looking for another reshort of Adobe. But so right in this zone here, I'd be doing nothing.
Okay, yeah, I'd agree with that. That's a good analysis. How about you, Andrew, with Adobe?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it right now. Okay, so one thing I look at when I'm trading, I always look to see when earnings are. So I just brought it up, and earnings are actually on December 13th. So this will incorporate December expiration. So we see here on December 13th, is this on my screen? Yeah. So, and then I look to see how the stock has moved over the last 8 quarters. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's rallied 5 times, sold off 3 times. I kind of compare it to sports team. So it's won 5 times, lost 3 times. Then I look at the chart. So the chart, I mean, pretty ugly looking chart here, but very similar to PayPal. I know I'm a long PayPal, where it made this huge reversal candle, 52-week low, or at least a recent low, and bounced hard off that. I mean, it rallied. I was looking at NVIDIA from 210 to 220. So I think it can go higher on earnings, especially because it's rallied 5 of the last 8 quarters. So usually I just come in here and I look at a in-the-money put spread I could sell. So with the stock at 230, 250, I could sell the 237.5, 227.5 put spread, and probably look to get about $5 for it. So basically risking 5 to make 5, making an even-the-money bet that, once again, as being bullish on the market, that Adobe has a good quarter, goes higher on earnings above 237.5.
Sweet. Excellent. Excellent. Now, as Andrew points out, guys, make sure you're always looking before you place any trade at any events coming up, because, usually non-standard Q4 earnings are what, in January? If they have non-standard earnings, you wake up one day and your positions move significantly. You just didn't see an earnings event happening. So that's good. Adobe's Microsoft to me. I'm short-term neutral to bearish on everything right now, because I really do think, with oil, you name the asset class, most everything's going down right now, so I'd be sitting on my hands. But an Adobe is a good Jan 21 long call diagonal synthetic stock play if you think we're somewhere close to a bottom. So let's move on to a Square. This will be interesting. So Jeremy, how about Square?
Yeah, this is interesting, man. This is one of my favorite companies just long term. I love what they're doing. I think their earnings were fantastic. I like the company. It's one that almost everyone knows how they make money. It's a new tech. It's a new product. Well, I say new in air quotes. But realistically, if anyone, especially brand new, if it's a family member or someone who's brand new in trading, they're asking me, hey, man, what's a company you like long term? Square is one of the ones I'm throwing out there because a lot of people understand how it makes money. They get the company. And if anything, that they're probably at some point a strong buyout candidate by Visa or MasterCard, if that's ever going to happen, which it probably won't be. So since Square can make money with its eyes closed, my thought is, I actually, Andrew will be proud of me on this one, $60 cash secured put for December 21st. That one has gone into money at one particular point in time, but I really do not mind owning shares of Square at 60. My personal thoughts on this one is it might have one more lower low or equal low, something like this, where we'll actually kind of start bottoming. I do think that 55-ish price range is probably the short-term bottom for a little bit. The weekly, I know we've been looking at a lot of the weekly moving averages. It actually did not close below the 50. I get it that this stock was just an absolute behemoth in 2017 and 2018, and it really does need to calm down and trade sideways for a while. I understand that. So I'm really looking at some volatility plays and selling some volatility with put spreads or put sales, just looking to capture the premium as it trades sideways and chops around. But longer term, this is one of the stocks that I'm most bullish on, and I really like this company a lot.
Wow. Bye, bye, bye. I need a cowbell and an air horn here. I already take it from there, man.
Yeah. So on Square, yeah, it's had a great run up, obviously, and it's pulled back here below that 50% retracement. Looking at, you know, the lows from this year to the high. And we came down to that 618 held. That's, to me, very, very key. So that's positive. You can see all the price action here on the weekly. So good support here at this $60 level. But I want to see it get back. Right now, we're into some resistance, big resistance right here at that 50% retracement. So if it can get back above 50% retracement, we'll call this, you know, $68 or so, and start consolidating. Then I think it has a good shot for move back up. But in here, in this kind of range here, I think it's going to be range bound. And, you know, with all the different negative potential news out there, this one could get pushed back down again. So, you know, I don't see it as a, you know, long-term buy right here. It has a lot of work to do to recover from, you know, the breakdown that it's had. So many of the stocks are looking pretty much the same. So to me, you've got to give these things time to work and regroup back over key moving averages or key Fibonacci levels. So right now, you know, I would not be looking to go long this stock, and I would not be looking to short it here, you know, unless we start getting a failure. This is a 200-day moving average. So if we start getting a failure below this 200-day moving average, then I think we could retest back down. Anything's possible. So right here is a no trade.
Interesting. Okay. So Andrew, break the tie, man.
Yeah, I'm going to look, and I'm assuming it is a very similar chart to PayPal. And I happen to be long about 500 calls in PayPal, so hopefully this chart looks the same. So Square here, yeah, I mean, basically, if you look here, I mean, it was a darling stock, got up to 101, sold off. And then we see this, you know, a lot of stocks, if they can hold their short-term low, which I think they can. I mean, Amazon got down to 1420, now it's 1580, NVIDIA got to 210. If we see here, it got down on that huge reversal today. That candle is very similar to Adobe's candle. And then we see it starting to make a series of higher highs and higher lows here. So I continue to think the market's going to rally until the end of the year. I could see it getting to that 75-80 range. Just for argument's sake, PayPal is my biggest long right now. I'm long 500 calls, literally 500 lot, not 500 strike. And this looks very similar, okay, where we had this reversal day here on the 20th, higher high. And I think that PayPal can get up to 86 in the next couple days. And stocks like this, one thing I also look at too is how much it moves during the day. So I have this really cool tool I use on Thinkorswim. It tells me how much a stock moves from high to low, 1/3 of all days, and then 2/3 of all days. So 1/3 of all days, Square will move $4.90 from high to low, thirds of all days, it was $1.80. So if you're playing a stock like this, understand there's movement here to stay, and there's a lot of movement in Square.
And what's that called, Andrew?
It's just a tool I use on Thinkorswim. So like today, and then I have this other tool. We created it, so you can't buy it anywhere. Today it moved 218. So one third of all days, it moves $4, $4.90 is that. And then two thirds of all days, it moves from high to low 179. So it is a stock that moves a lot. So, you know, have stop losses, use options, and be careful.
Correct. Awesome. Jeremy had to bail on us at 5 o'clock sharp. He had an appointment, so it'll be the three of us. It's interesting because all these texts or the two, three previous, we've talked about very similar patterns here, bouncing off the bottom of the Keltner, not right here, but bouncing off the bottom of the Keltner channels and just trying to get out of this this rut here. I'm going to stick with what I've been saying, except for what's coming up next. The next symbol, I'd be neutral on this, kind of like Larry was saying, at least short-term neutral until we get through some of this. And as Jeremy said, we're going to be chopping around here for a little bit. So I couldn't agree with that more. But Larry, I wanted to get to this since you're a big oil guy. What's your take on, first of all, give us a 100,000-foot view of oil right now, especially with the OPEC clown car and then Saudi Arabia trying to stab the president in the back last week. And then get us down to where you are on Chevron.
Yeah, sure. When we look at the oil markets here, you know, it's in a position here where it could actually go lower. And, you know, you've got OPEC coming up. They're going to be, I think, around December 6th or so. But if you look here, just a weekly chart of crude oil, just on the, you know, just the technicals of it, it's right here below, right on $50, which is kind of a nice even number. But, you know, it's right below the 200-week moving average. So this has potential to move lower to 40. There's ample supply right now. And, you know, Trump pulled a good one over the OPECers when he gave the eight countries, a lift to export or import crude for the next 6 months. And that really crushed OPEC, you know, and they're trying to recover now. But they're going to really need to do some serious production cuts in order to get this thing back stable. So right now, I wouldn't be going short here because you do have OPEC coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing is poised to potentially go lower if they do nothing, which that is a possibility, but I pretty much think they'll do something. But, you know, some of the stories I've read, I don't have the inside scoop, obviously. But, you know, Russia's not sure they want to go along with this time around. And we don't know what Saudi's position is politically either with the U.S., all the different troubles that are going on there. So if they do not take on a cut, you know, to bring some of the production off, then this thing will go lower. It'll go down. You can see right here, the next support's down around 43, down to $40. So nothing magic about that. So just looking at it from a weekly, momentum still down. I like to look at momentum for price direction. The daily momentum still down. So this, to me, I'm not, you know, you can't pick a bottom here. So there's going to be plenty of time. Sometimes these types of bottoming formations can take weeks to put into place, especially on a commodity like crude. And so right here, it's a no trade. You know, it's not a short because it's already moved so low. You've got OPEC coming up. So it's a wait and see. And I'm not getting a technical long here either, except if you start breaking it down to a lower time frame, it's starting to stabilize a little bit when you break down to the lower time frame, such as maybe a 4 hour, we're starting to see that start to shift. So mm-hmm. it's trying to hold this bottom here at 50, but it needs more work. And then you do have the OPEC meeting coming up, and I think, you know, I think they'll probably do something. They have to do something. That their economies and everything so reliant on crude, as we all know. So
correct,
we'll probably do some production cuts. So I'd be more in favor of potentially long trades here, you know, over the next month or so. But right now, it's still not showing me anything technically that's out of the woods yet.
Yeah. So you still think there's lower to go?
Potentially, you know, I'm thinking it's going to sit right here, but we have inventories tomorrow. I guess it'll be Thursday now since we had a holiday, but we'll have inventories. Those have been building, you know, shale production. U.S. now has surpassed Russia and Saudi Arabia as far as our production. We're up to 11.8 million barrels a day. And, you know, you're going to start seeing the rig counts have started to come off. So we're starting to see a few signs that maybe production's being pulled back a little bit. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of longer term. I would not want to be short, but it still could go lower. But I'm thinking fundamentally, they're going to do something, so gradually it'll start moving higher,
mm-hmm.
but not ready to roll into it yet.
Well, it's interesting because it's almost like a circular firing squad. That, you know, their economies are getting crushed, and they need to cut production to make prices go up. But then at the same time, they need the cash. So it's kind of this it's this interesting standoff that OPEC usually has. Andrew, what's your take on oil or Chevron there?
Yeah, I will take Larry's opinion that he knows way more about me fundamentally than oil, and I'll say that. But I will go to the chart here and say, interesting here, you know, one thing I do look at is a RSI relative strength index, and we actually see it more oversold in mid-November. The RSI actually got to about 14 right here, and then it did bounce a little bit. So now the RSI is higher than it was. So it's actually less oversold than it was about 2 weeks ago. You know, we see this $50 mark will be huge. And a lot of times what they'll do is here is they'll run that under 50, knowing on round numbers, traders have stops in here. So if you bought it was today, you know, if you bought it anytime today, maybe you have a stop at 49.80, 49.60. A lot of times they'll run this lower and then reverse it. So I don't think it's made a good key reversal candle yet. I think it could take out 50 to the downside and wait for key reversal. You see these two little weak bull bars. These are not strong at all. None of these have been really key reversal candles. So I think it will make a short-term low sometime, but I'd be waiting for either more consolidation of bars very similar or a key reversal bar.
I'm gonna take Andrew's. I think Larry knows a hell of a lot more than I do, but ditto. The OPEC meeting coming up is going to be critical here. And I just need to remind folks that I don't think, and Larry, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I really don't think that lower gas prices are that much of a boom to the last time, you know, all the beautiful talking heads on CNBC, low gas prices adds a, you know, 0.25% to GDP and it's great. First of all, we didn't see that the last time oil imploded. Was it the 2016 route? The extra $7 you put in your pocket when you fill up your car every week, first of all, mentally, I'm not that type of guy that recognizes that. I don't even, you know, when the pump stops, I jump in my car and I leave. But, you know, if this stays down here, we're going to see what happened the last time oil stayed down here. Schlumberger wakes up and in the blink of an eye, there's 15,000 jobs gone. Oh, and by the way, 2 days later, there's another 15. Or ExxonMobil picks up the phone and, you know, calls whatever shipyard and says, hey, you know, those two massive tankers we ordered? Yeah, you can get rid of those for now. And out in Midland, Texas, these, you know, not even high school graduates making over $100,000 a year, when they lose their jobs, man, low oil prices is a drag on the economy, period. I just don't buy into the it's a tax cut like Trump tweeted out the other week. And then the day after the president tweets out, you know, praise for, Saudi Arabia for keeping oil prices low, you know, there's a news in Wall Street Journal that they actually backdoor tried to do the exact opposite and stab him in the back a little bit. So I agree with Larry. I think we head lower on crude. And that's going to be, you know, and that's one of the things that's going on right now. There's really, you know, stocks, bonds, oil, copper. I'm not a super, silver, all that stuff, super commodities guy, but what's the Wall Streetism? The market's covered by a copper roof. So that's one of the, you know, the reasons I'm overall bearish right now is because everything's kind of being dragged down. And we're kind of at this double bottom on the S&P 500, where if we don't hold here, tomorrow, I think it's look out below down to the February lows. But Larry, that's a good take on oil there.
The other big point I'd like to show is the dollar. So the dollar is so key to, you know, emerging markets and global commodities because they're priced in dollars. And so you can see here this weekly chart. This is the dollar index. This sucker, if this is what we call kind of a consolidation or squeeze. All right. So this, see these dots. This is a system I've got, but these things are very powerful. And if this triggers to the upside, which it looks like it will, then the dollar will go higher. So it could potentially, here's a 618 retracement. So that's resistance. But this looks like it's going to probably be taken out at 98, and then the next big stop is 100. You'll see when this dollar, if it explodes higher, that's going to put such another major headwind against global commodities such as oil, gold, etc., or primarily oil, but you're going to see basic materials and stuff like that just get really hit hard. And so that's going to hurt the emerging markets for their debt repayment, you know, global blue chip companies that are, you know, the multinationals, that's going to hurt their sales. So keep an eye on the dollar. If it starts exploding above 98, that's going to be another whammy to our markets.
Oh yeah. And Trump always spouting off how he wants a lower dollar. It's interesting. And yeah, these low oil is going to definitely hit those emerging markets, the whole BRIC trade, right? And especially Brazil, Petrobras, was it Vale, all those guys down there. So it's going to lower oil isn't necessarily bullish for the overall market, guys. Like I said, you don't sit there and mentally say, hey, I just saved bucks, $7 filling up my tank. Let me run in and buy some Slim Jims and a Frappuccino and, you know, add to the economy. You know, it just doesn't, it just doesn't doesn't happen. But all right, let's switch gears out of oil and actually head to the banks. So what do you got with C, man?
Let's take a look here at Citibank. You know, just starting out with the weekly, we're coming down to some pretty decent support in here, but you can get all the way back down to, you know, right here. This is a weekly 200-week moving average. So you could, to me, you could easily get down here to, you know, 58 level. You can see it's still turned over. It's still kind of headed sideways to down. And so you can see here it's trying to recoup, but you're on super lows here. So this again is a kind of what I call the cliffhanger. If this support gets taken out at, you know, let's call it $60, then we've got more downside. Could easily get down to, you know, this area right here, which is, you know, 58, 55. So,
now what, Larry, what's your take on that? I mean, it's, you know, the blue blood banks here, you know, when interest rates are high, stocks will die. When interest rates are low, stocks will grow. But I thought rising interest rates is supposed to be bullish for, you know, kind of banks. But is this just, are they getting caught up in the overall market swoon, or what's your take?
Yeah, it looks like they are. And you know, with the we've actually had bond prices moving higher. So if you look at the bond market, you know, it's moving higher and it's coming up into some key resistance. So the market's looking at the global markets as a slowing growth, right? So you've got bonds moving higher because of potential slow growth. So I think that's actually what's affecting the banks more so than anything, potential for slower growth coming in and
interesting,
you know, creating a whole, you know, kind of downward shift on just, you know, global economies and stuff. So the banks are, to me, I mean, you just technically, they don't look good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Andrew, what's your take on Citi and just how about the blue bloods in general, man, from a Goldman Sachs to a JP Morgan? How about that whole sector?
Yeah, I mean, Goldman Sachs had like what, its worst day in, since 2016 when it's down like $18 the other day. So I look at Goldman here and, you know, obviously rising interest rates should be good for the banks, but it's not. This is an ugly looking chart. And it, like, we were looking at PayPal, we were looking at Adobe, we were looking at Square, and we saw those key reversal candles. And we, you know, took out the lows in reverse. The day where Goldman took out 190 was actually a bearish candle. So that doesn't show reversal at all. I am happen to be long calls in HIG, which is Hartful Financial. So very similar chart here in HIG. I think HIG can actually rally. This one looks a little stronger. This was seven straight days where it moved up from open to close. So HIG, I think the low can be in. You've seen a lot of institutional order flow in the December 65s in Citi. Open interest on those is close to 30,000, I want to say. Let me just look real quick. So someone's taking a pretty big bet. D65s, we see open interest of 31,000. The Citi does trade a lot, but so someone bought these yesterday for 122. We also see big open interest in the D67s. So maybe someone's taking a bet that, you know, these banks can move higher, Citi can move higher. Out of these, I'm long HIG. I like Citi technically more than I like Goldman.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. The Goldman said, Lloyd Blankfein's still there, right? Didn't that dude say he's leaving? He's like the house guest that won't leave. Out of all the blue bloods, so to speak, the Wall Street banks, I'm a JP Morgan guy. So for Citi, I'm not a big Citi guy. I like JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs. I mean, used to be the Death Star. I mean, God, when Rolling Stone does an article, what were they, the Vampire Squid? They, you know, years ago, that this was the place to be. But Lloyd Blankfein, man, just has. He needs to go for Goldman Sachs to get anywhere. But I like Jamie Dimon. There's rumors flying around that if Trump fires the Fed chief, Jerome Powell, for kind of raising interest rates and doing his job, he's going to give Jamie Dimon a call. Jamie Dimon reportedly is saying, I don't want to take the pay cut. But so let me just get back to the question that was asked. Citi. You got to wait and see what the Fed does, folks, here, because the little Wall Street saying when interest rates are high, stocks will die, interest rates are low, stocks will grow, is generally good to go, except for with the banks. With the rising interest rate environment, these guys should be getting up off the mat, and they're just not. So I wouldn't be a Citi guy. I'd be a JP Morgan. I think Jamie Dimon's a phenomenal CEO. Same type of thing. I'd be doing a synthetic stock, long call diagonal out to Jan 21, but I'd be sitting on my hands in these front months, guys, until at least tomorrow at noon. Everybody should grab some popcorn and watch Jerome Powell's speech. It's going to be, I think it's as important as the Fed meeting next month. I think all eyes are going to be on that speech tomorrow. But if you're itching to get into a blue blood, I'd be JP Morgan and I'd be bullish out to Jan 21. You got to think that by a year and a half to 2 years from now, these banks are back and hitting all cylinders. They're fixed income, currency, commodity divisions, the investment banking arms. You would think these things would get off the mat, but I don't know, man. It's just it's pretty uncertain times. All right, now let's hit what most likely a lot of people came for: Apple, Larry. Apple and bear market, man. Lay it on us.
Yeah, well, you can see I've been looking at Apple. Let me get rid of a few of these. I didn't realize I had so many fib levels up here. You know, Apple's trying to get off the mat here. Here's a weekly, just to start with the long term. So we've got, you know, some pretty big support right in here. This is a 100-week moving average right around this. Let's call it 170. All right. So 170 down to 160 is kind of the potential downside. So, you know, we're right here. It's trying to bottom, but it's not there yet. So you just have, sometimes you have to give these things time. You just don't go start buying things. And I'm not seeing it's time to buy yet. All right. So here's a daily time frame. You know, we look at this all day long, every day, because Apple, when it does turn, the options are so fantastic trade, because the bid offer spread is the best. You know, it's like trading a futures contract or something. So we're chomping at the bit to get something going here. But right now, it's just holding support. So you want to, it's trying to hold into this zone right here at 168. And then, you know, you can see that if it does have a bounce, it's first off a retracement rally up here to potentially to this 200-day moving average. And so that would be, you know, if you could get a rally up there, that'd be obviously fantastic. But that's going to be where it's going to stall out if we do get this retracement bounce. And then looking at the lower time frames, I want to see what it does over the next day or so on a 4-hour and a 1-hour time frame. So what we're watching for now is coming into tomorrow, I'll be looking at the hourly time frame, and it's in a really kind of tight consolidation phase here. And so if we get a break above this level here tomorrow, about 175, with some momentum, we've got momentum indicators we follow, then we could get a nice little bounce up here to possibly 179, you know, 180. So what I'd like to do there is just start off intraday on a long. If it does break this area, so buy some calls at the money or something for next week. I'm more of a kind of a swing trade, you know, week to 2 weeks at the most, but buy some calls here. But we get a breakout tomorrow with some momentum at 175. Let's say that happens. And then I'd see if I could get a rally up here, $2 or $3 or $4, and I'd convert it to a call, you know, debit spread, and just, you know, see how far I could ride it. But we're starting to get some, a little bit of consolidation kind of patterns coming in here. So I'm looking for some action to start happening here in the next day or two.
Very interesting, Larry. Actually, Andrew, you go ahead, man. I want to see what your take is.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard the same thing on CNBC. I didn't know that Microsoft overtook Apple for market cap. Crazy. Yep. I mean, I remember Amazon hit $1 trillion like 2 weeks right after Apple did. I still truly believe there's a Warren Buffett put in somewhere. I don't know where he first got long.
It was 165. Somebody in our room was the other day. Bloomberg had where he was buying it. I thought I heard 165 or something.
Okay. So I thought it was higher than that, but 165. So it's down all the way down here. And then I got up to 230. And, you know, when all the FANG stocks started to sell off, when Facebook was making lower lows, lower highs, Apple seemed like is resilient. Like Apple would only go down a little bit. And then I think the two big things that has affected Apple is the tariff situation and them not releasing unit sales, you know, for guidance. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't know how much they have on share cash per share, but I know it's really high. So if you think two things here, I think it's got a Warren Buffett put. Well, I think he'll buy more if it goes that much lower. And I think that tariffs are overdone. And also to the fact that, you know, them sandbagging the numbers in the first time. I remember when Apple was $80 before the 7-for-1 reverse split, and I lost a lot of money because they sandbagged their numbers. So they're kind of renowned for that. So, I mean, I don't think the short-term low is in. Just technically, it looks so bad. I mean, it almost looks as bad as Facebook. But longer term, I think it's great. I mean, look at Facebook. This is an ugly-looking chart, too. I don't think the short-term low is in for Facebook either. But my question for you is, do you really trade 21 options?
Jan 21, yeah.
No, what year expiration?
The January 21s.
Yeah, we'll 2021.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, so I don't trade that far out because I would have a panic attack if I have a position on for more than 2 weeks. But exactly. I think any of these companies, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, maybe Bob at the least, Google, for 2 years out are great. And using leap options are a great way to play them.
Well, that's exactly what we do, man. We fly in our time machine and we do either synthetic stock or long call diagonals. And then we trade the front months on them. So that's why we do the if you think Apple, you know, it's just getting pounded right now, and you think a year and a half, 2 years from now it's, you know, 3-4 times what it is, you know, then you're getting it at a discount down here, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, anything in Apple in 2000, even 2020, like, mm-hmm. never, like I always say, that you're never going to buy the bottom or sell the top, right? So can Apple go down to 155? Sure. But I think in a year, 2 years, 3 years, it's definitely higher than where it is today.
Exactly. So that's what we do. That's why we do it. So those tactics, you know, that long call diagonals or synthetic stock are, if you think this company is going to be just blowing the doors off of it down the road, you know, and you have time for this trade to work out. So we do those longer term options, but we trade the hell out of the front months. Like, for example, a lot of my private coaching clients, we've been doing bearish double verticals on, you know, so a bear call spread, which is a credit spread to take in a little coin and actually fund a bear put spread. These things are just, it's, in my opinion, it's over with short term for the FANGs. Watching the Zuckerberg stand in testify in front of Parliament today, it was comical. I mean, I actually felt bad for the guy. So government regulation's coming. I mean, and you know, I a year ago I said to ditch the FANGs. Exactly 1 year ago, was it last November? Or October, it was October before we went out to Lake Tahoe. I said, hey, man, get out of the it was around when Zuckerberg said, I don't care about profitability. I just want to do good. I mean, the Gordon Gekko in me wanted to, I almost jumped through the computer. I'm like, oh, my God, man, your job is not to do good. Your job is to make money for me as a shareholder. And got Barrett, I jumped out of Apple. I was trading the hell out of that. Like you, Andrew, I remember doing it was a Trader Expo in Vegas, like giving a speech when Apple was at 80. So you and I have been trading this thing since it was an acorn. And to see this thing implode, you know, right around the time the San Bernardino shootings happened, and Apple, you know, the FBI goes to Apple and says, hey, man, unlock this phone so we can maybe prevent another terrorist act or get some intel. And they said, no. I'm like, I'm done with that company too. So I recommended it this time last year, everybody get out of all the FANGs. And the only one that was quote unquote safe was Amazon. And even that's starting to, you know, not seeing the rebound that we usually see seasonally out of Amazon is a little disconcerting to me. So short term, very bearish on. Let me get back here. Very bearish on Apple. This thing, now it's trading on emotion, right? It's almost not even trading on fundamentals. Like Andrew said, they're a serial under promise and over deliver until they're under promising and under deliver, and we might actually see one of those. All right, guys, we got about 6 minutes left. Let's stop with that, and I'd like to save a little time for hey, what do you like right now? What do you trade, and what would be a nice gold nugget you could throw to the folks, Larry? So let me throw it over to you, man. What do you like right now, or what do you trade?
Okay. Well, we just did a setup today on Amgen. I like to look for, you know, kind of selective longs or shorts. I mean, there's what I like to look for as far as a long is things that are starting to push back above the moving averages. So there's potential here for Amgen for a bigger break to the upside. So set up just a call debit spread here today for Amgen for move up to potentially up to 205. So I like the looks of Amgen here, holding up pretty well. It's also in a sector that's been holding up. So like the looks there of Amgen, and then a lot of different short trade setups, but one that we've been in and out of on a short side has been Tyson Foods. So this is kind of a retracement failure, came into these major moving averages and starting to roll back down. So, you know, went short again today on Tyson, looking for a breakdown to 57 and possibly down here to 55. And those are two right now. So Amgen and then Tyson short. And then also just looking at Facebook to go get back into that, potentially reshort, but nothing there yet. So
yeah, I mean, great call. I'm not Amgen or Tyson guy, but Facebook, I'd be pounding that into the dirt. Andrew, throw us a good nugget, man. What do you like?
So my two biggest positions are PayPal. December, unfortunately, December premium rots away, but I'm long to December 90 calls. I was long these from 90 cents. I had more at 60 and I had more at 33. So now they're 43. So I'm down money on this trade. But December 80s, December 90s in PayPal. And then, like I said, I bought some more HIG today. So I bought some December 46 calls. So I trade, you know, institutional order flow in the option market. And I've been trying to buy pullbacks a little bit here. You can see HIG, there's a big open interest. The institution started paying 80 cents for those. I consider them on sale for 45. But if you just look at the chart, I think PayPal can go higher. And one thing I always look at is that ATR indicator I talked about is I want to trade options. Me personally, I want to trade options that have a big ATR where the stock has potential to move. Mm-hmm. I think PayPal can get up to 85 in the next, you know, if it moves $3 once this week from high to low, it can get back up to 85. And, you know, call options that are 45 cents and it's stocks that have big ATRs will potentially be up 50 to 100%. So PayPal and HIG is my two biggest long positions.
positions.
Nice. Like them. I'm going to leave with SDS, or just getting some sort of hedge on, guys. This, like I said, beating a dead cat here, but we're holding these kind, we're hovering around these October lows on the S&P 500. I don't give Friday's quote unquote rally or any credence. It was a half a day of trading and very low volume today, or I'm sorry, yesterday, little signs of life, but we all eyes on what's his name? Powell tomorrow at noon. Larry said, I think crude oil inventories tomorrow or Thursday, that'll be one to watch. And then Thursday night, some critical information coming out of China. We get China PMIs, manufacturing, non-manufacturing PMI. If you don't know about PMI, a reading below 50 indicates contraction or kind of recessionary activity. Anything above 50 is expansion. Their PMIs have been slowly imploding. And I shouldn't believe anything that comes out of our government. But if China's government is telling you things are bad, you know it's even worse. So there's a lot of potential bad out there. And I'm usually the eternal bull, man. And now I've turned into a little bit of Eeyore. So do me a favor, do yourself a favor, get something on that's going to go up if the market goes down. I liked, I think we went in our live trade brief today. I think I went out to middle of December here, and I just went and bought some deep in the money 80 Delta calls. These the 36s. Just throw some of these, put them in your filing cabinet, and sleep better at night. And obviously, with the ProShares Ultra Short, these things go up as the market goes down. So if we don't hold those October lows, it's look out below down to February. There's a lot of headwinds, man. Unless the president pulls a rabbit out of his hat with trade, even if he puts that behind us, the China trade issue, you still got Jerome Powell out there who's kind of, quote unquote, ignoring what's going on in the market. And that's his job, to be honest with you. Full employment, inflation, those are his two mandates. His job is not to put a put under this market, but he'd be breaking with long-term previous past two Fed chiefs with kind of ignoring what's going on in equity. So get some protection on, guys. And it's not just a little cheesy sign off I have. Happy hunting. Make sure you hedge, man. Make sure you hedge. Don't fly around this market without an ejection seat, some sort of ejection seat. So, all right, guys, look at that. On time, on target. We got about a minute or so left. Larry, do me a favor, or do everybody a favor, and let everybody know how we can track you down and take a look at what you do.
Yeah, appreciate that very much. Let me see here. Where did I put this? Check me out at powercycletrading.com. Let me show you the website here. Come join us. We've always got something going on, live webinars, whatever. So powercycletrading.com, got a live trading room, lots of good trading software that we've developed, tons of courses, so a lot of great content. So thanks for having me here today. And if you'd like to learn more about options and directional trading, come visit us at powercycletrading.com.
Thanks, Larry. Great working with you again, and look forward to working with you down the road. Andrew, how do we track you down, man?
Website is alphashark.com. I will share it here. I think I was looking at my workout class for tonight. alphashark.com, and in the products page, we have a live trading room, and then we have an unusual option activity scanner. We have about 15 courses on demand and DVD. Also have proprietary risk indicators on Thinkorswim TradeStation Ninja. I think our bread and butter product is a live trading room that's open with audio and visual for 9 a.m. Eastern to 4:30 Eastern, whatever that is, 8 hours or something. And I'm personally on every single day for opening bell, so you can check us out.
Awesome, bro. Good seeing you out in Vegas. Look forward to working with you again. Guys, with me, it's easy. Just head to topgunoptions.com. If you're a skier, or even if you're not a skier, you can scroll down and figure this out. We have a couple test flights if you want to take 14, 28, 38 bucks. I'm going out. So Andrew's up there in New York cold. I'm going out on Las Olas Boulevard here in Fort Lauderdale for Christmas on Las Olas. And for 38 bucks, which is probably going to be the price of one drink, you can take a two-week test flight in what we do here at Top Gun Options. That's the Full Throttle Max over here. Or you can just head to go.topgunoptions.com/go-flight, kind of like Apollo 13 going around the mission control there. I'm go for flight. So go.topgunoptions.com/go-flight, and you can come check us out. So awesome. David, thanks for having me, man. It was a good discussion. It was nice to meet Jeremy. Hopefully you have him back, and happy hunting, and make sure you hedge. Over to you, my friend.
Yeah, it was a great show. Definitely want to have Jeremy back soon. So, and Yeah, just a great show. So just a reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past show archives there and the full show notes for and timeline for each show. Be sure to join us next week for both shows, Crowd Forecast News, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and the next episode of this show, Tuesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live to watch the live broadcasts. And just want to thank my guests again for this week, Jeremy Newsom of reallifetrading.com, first time guest. So great having him here. And Larry Gaines of powercycletrading.com, Andrew Keen of alphashark.com, and Matt Buckley of topgunoptions.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David. We'll see you.
Thanks, David. See you guys.